Hi, welcome to another inspirational message recorded live at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
I'm going to be talking tonight from a sermon that I have titled, Nothing at All Except This Manna. Nothing at all except this manna. And I'm going to ask if you guys could please try to stay with me. I'm going to be bouncing around quite a bit tonight between a bunch of different scriptures. So let's just jump right into it. Amen? Can we go, please, to Acts chapter 16 and verse 16? And I'm going to try my best because these are really popular scriptures, really popular stories in the Bible that we are, I believe, are very well taught in this house. And I'm going to try my best not to go on too many rabbit runs, although I know it's inevitable. Amen. Now it happened, as we went to prayer, right out the gate, rabbit run number one. Now it happened, as we went to the movies to just hang out for a little bit. Now it happened as we sat up until 3 o'clock in the morning watching YouTube videos to learn how to do all the cool dude perfect trick shots and come on, young people. And now it happened that as I, you know, got tied up with the things to do in everyday life, and I got busy and feeding the kids and washing the dog and putting siding on the house and remulching the lawn. And now it happened that as we went to prayer, that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us. See, I love this. Now it happened as we went to prayer. As we went to prayer. Throughout the Bible, we see over and over and over again that as they went to prayer, there was a happening taking place. In chapter 2 of the book of Acts, please don't go there, but in the chapter 2 of the book of Acts, there was a happening that was taking place in a prayer meeting in the upper room, and the word of God says that they were together in one accord, praying all prayers with supplication, and then all of a sudden, there was a fire that sat upon them, and then the whole house was filled with the sound of a mighty rushing wind, and then there was this great happening that took place at a prayer meeting. What the heck does this have to do with manna? We're gonna get there, amen? There's a happening that takes place at a prayer meeting. And this slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. And this girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." Wow. Man, she's accurate. Homegirl is prophesying with accuracy. That's a good word. "These men are the servants of the God Most High." It's interesting. It's interesting that this is taking place as they were going to prayer, that this thing would begin to manifest in a prayer meeting or as they were on their way to prayer. And just as it was in the book of Acts, that as they were going to prayer, there was a happening taking place. Something begins to take place when we begin to pray. And this little demon begins to manifest and begins to prophesy accurately, which is really the scary thing, because that's where we need to have discernment. Because, see, not everybody that comes and speaks a word over you is operating in the gift of prophecy. Sometimes, is anybody with me? Right? This is very well taught. Okay, I'm going to go on because we know this. Okay. But Paul, greatly annoyed. I'm so happy that's in there. Amen. I'm sorry. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the little girl, turned and shouted at the person. Wait, what? Did I read it wrong? But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, operating behind a person, although he addressed an individual. Is everybody with me? And he's greatly annoyed. So from the outside perspective looking in, we just think Paul's a big meanie. Somebody who's not operating with discernment would say, what is wrong with you, Paul? She's speaking a good word over you. And now you're greatly annoyed and now you're going to cast the devil out of her? Well, yeah. I see what's operating behind the individual. But it happens in prayer. Our discernment comes in prayer. Power comes in prayer. Prophecy comes in prayer. A happening comes in prayer. When we come to a prayer meeting and we begin, I get so encouraged when we come to a prayer meeting and our pastor's up here in the front, and you can tell the atmosphere is a little thick, and he gets a little, you know what I'm talking about? And he says, come on, church, let's begin to pray, right? And he just, I mean, and then all of a sudden there's a great awakening at Oceans Unite Christian Center, and all of a sudden we all wake up. And we begin to pray and we begin to press in, and then there's this great victory. Can I tell you that if we went to war and we didn't have to fight a battle, a victory wouldn't be as sweet? See, that's how it is with prayer. When you begin to press in, I don't know why I'm going this way tonight. As you begin to pray, and as you begin to intercede, if you're always interceding and there's always a victory, that victory will never be as sweet. You'll begin to get complacent with the victory when you pray. But true intercession, there's laboring in the spirit. And you begin to push. You begin to push, push, pray until something happens. And you begin to pray. You begin to pray. You begin to pray. And it's just like you're hitting this wall. Has anybody ever been there? You're praying in the spirit and it's just like, it's just me, myself, and I. Come on, I'm not the only one. The youth know in a youth prayer meeting, I'll walk right up behind them and start shouting in their ears, we're praying. But then all of a sudden, there's this break that takes place. Amen. So Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out that very hour. But when her masters saw that the hope of their prophet was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or to observe. And then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And after they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into the prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a great charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet into the stocks. But at midnight, somebody's catching something. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were on YouTube till 3:30 in the morning, watching videos on Dude Perfect to see how to do all the coolest trick shots in the world. Paul and Silas at about midnight were out on the John boat fishing, catching snapper. Paul and Silas at midnight were sleeping because, you know, you're in the jail cell and there's nothing else that we can do. Paul and Silas at about midnight were on Instagram and Snapchat checking out who's up at 3:30 in the morning. But at midnight, in their darkest hour, in their biggest place of despair, bound up in shackles, naked, beaten with rods, bleeding, there's feces all over the ground from the rats and the mice, and they're, hallelujah. Okay, I can't sing, but y'all are with me, right? And they're in there just having a great old time with God, praying and singing hymns. Praying. Oh, Paul was a prayer warrior. To write in the Bible, I thank my God I pray in tongues more than ye all. This was a praying man. He was praying and singing hymns to God. And John and Peter and Zach and Billy Bob were down the hall and they were listening. They heard what was going on. See, praise and prayer will always set an atmosphere for a miracle. It always begins to build the atmosphere for a miracle. That's why we have prayer meetings before the service. That's why we have praise and worship before a service, because we're busy preparing the spiritual atmosphere for a miracle, for a shaking to take place. Prayer and praise will always begin to set an atmosphere for a foundation to be broken up, for a chain to be broken, for a shackle to be unloosed. I know this is like we've been through this a million times, but I promise I'm gonna bring it out a little bit different. Just give me like 10 minutes. Amen. Bear with me. I know this is a very well-taught scripture in this house. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everybody's chains were loosed. But Paul and Silas were the only two praying and singing hymns. Why is it that somebody else receives a miracle based off of my prayers? So is this insinuating that when we pray and we praise, we set an atmosphere for somebody else who maybe isn't spiritually at the level that we are? Oh, does that mean that I can begin to and the person who doesn't understand what I'm doing can all of a sudden, Okay, all right. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, and so the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, supposing that the prisoners had fled, because that's naturally what would happen when a jail explodes, is he drew his sword and he was about to kill himself. But Paul, everybody say, but Paul, this is a peculiar man. But Paul called with a loud voice saying, "Do not do yourself no harm, for we are all here." And then he called for a light and ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Can I put this into layman's terms for today? Security guard at the jail has been there, and all of a sudden he's sleeping because it's the night shift, you know, and he's sitting there in his room and he's got his coffee and his donuts and he's... And all of a sudden... "Oh no, boss is gonna lose it. I've had this job for 30 years, my retirement's in, my 401k is on, my medical bills, my boss is gonna lose it. They're all gone, I know they're all gone." Wait! You're too close to the monitor. We're all here. Oh my. Listen. Let me tell you something. I've been a security guard here at this jail for 30 plus years, and I've seen every bit of complaining. I've heard every jail member tell me how it wasn't their fault. I've heard every person that's been in here tell me how they were falsely accused. I've heard how every single one of them have been beaten and accused falsely. I've heard every complaint. I've heard every cry. I've seen every attempt to get out of this jail. In 30 years, I ain't never seen nothing like that, man. What must I do to be saved? Ain't nothing broke out of here ever for something like that to take place. This is a God thing. Whoever you were singing about, whoever you were praying to, I need him in my life. That's the only way I'm gonna keep this job. Everybody with me? Can we put this into perspective? Paul has been accused and wrongly. He's been stripped naked, whipped and beat and bleeding, put into the lowest, the inner parts of the jail. I mean, really just treated like an absolute dog. And I got to think about it like this. You know, Paul is called to go out and do all these great things. He's called with a purpose. He's called with a destiny. He's called with all of these great and wonderful things. You know, Pastor Mike, I'm called to be the next televangelist. Pastor Mike, I'm called to be an evangelist to the nations. Pastor Mike, I'm called to be the best youth group leader that this world has ever seen. Pastor Mike, I'm called to be a prophet. Pastor Mike, I'm called to open up 5 churches with satellite all over. Pastor Mike, I've got this great purpose, this great calling, but all of a sudden, I'm in the inner jail cells with my back bleeding and my shirt torn apart, and it was, God, what are you doing? I'm trying to put myself in Paul's shoes. God, what are you? You said I was going to be this. Right? I mean, I'm just putting myself in his shoes. I think I'd have been complaining. I'm going to be honest with y'all. I'm sharing y'all my sins. Then I'd have been like, God, this ain't fair with me and my little chain strap. This ain't even right. God, you know, I'm telling you right now, I shouldn't be in this place. I was just doing deliverance. I was casting the devil out of somebody who was operating falsely, and you put me in this jail cell. God, what are you thinking? I shouldn't be in here. I should be out preaching to the nations. God, I should be saving people. Why have I got this thing on my ankle? Come on, I'd have been complaining till I didn't have another piece of air in me. My feet would have been bloody from dragging that shackle across the bottom of the jail cell, whining and crying and carrying on. That's just me. Anybody out there? And finally, this great miracle happens. You'd think that his first response would have been like, hey, baby, I'm out of here. Woo! And take off. That's what I would have done. Just putting it into perspective. I've been put in here wrongly. I've been humiliated publicly. I've been beaten. Some of y'all have been humiliated publicly. Some of y'all have been falsely accused. Some of y'all have been put away into an inner part of a cell where you just feel like there's no way out. And the walls come down and the chains come off. And the first thing you think about is the people. Oh, Paul, you're good. That's good. I thank my God I pray in tongues more than y'all, because I'm obviously not praying in tongues enough, because I'd have been out. Gone, baby. Right? Can I be real? Okay, I'm not the most holy person in the world. I'm sorry. His first response was the people. Oh my, we're running out of time. And then he brought them into the house and he set food before them and he rejoiced, believing in God with all of his household. And when it was day, the magistrates sent to the officer saying, let those men go. So the keeper of the prisoner reported these words to Paul, saying, the magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart, go in peace. But Paul said to them, No. They've beaten me openly, these uncondemned Romans. They threw us into prison, and now they want to put me out quietly? Nah, absolutely not. You tell them to come here and bring me out. That's a statement. Hey? So the officers told these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid. And when they had heard that they were Romans, then they came and pleaded with them and brought them out. And as I wish every enemy that has ever come against my life, I wish every demon that has ever came against my life, my pastor's life, my pastor's ministry, this house, I wish every demon that has ever falsely accused, every demon that has tried to put us in bondage, every demon that has tried to condemn, I wish they would come to me and plead to me, please get away from this place. I can't handle the heat in the kitchen any longer. Devil, make a public spectacle of me. I'll make a public spectacle of you. Okay, all right. Amen. Is everybody with me? Nothing at all except this manna. Here we go. Let's jump back to Moses and what transpired with Moses and the leading of the Exodus out of Egypt. And we saw the plagues. There was the first plague, which was water becomes blood. The second plague, which is frogs. The third plague, lice, flies, disease, livestock, boils, hail, locusts, darkness, and then last of all, the death of the firstborns and the Passover. And then we see this great correlation of a type and shadow of what is to come, as they would put the lamb on the doorpost and then death would pass them over, which is a representation of Jesus being the perfect lamb that died for us, and that blood covers us so that death would pass, eternal death would pass us over, that we could have eternal life. And I think it's this beautiful thing that takes place. But then, everybody with me? I'm trying to get this all in. Okay. But then in chapter 6 to chapter 12, we see this mass exodus from Egypt into the promised land. And in Exodus 14, verse 13, it says, "So Moses said to the people, 'Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you.'" Oh, that's good. That's good. "The Lord will fight for you. He will go on behalf of you and destroy the enemy that rages against you and your soul and your family and all of these things that are around you." But see here, there's a doing that took place to get to that scripture. I love the young people very much, but I'm going to pick on them a little bit tonight. You know, "Pastor Mike, I got this great prophecy. Do you know who I am? God told me I'm going to be da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I believe it, I receive it, and I agree with you. But what are you doing about it?" Okay. "Pastor Mike, God told me that I'm going to be a millionaire." Oh, I can't stand too close up my heart. God told me that I'm going to be a millionaire. "So I quit my job. I'm sitting on the couch eating potato chips, watching Jerry Springer till 4 in the afternoon." "Got my bank account open. I'm waiting." "Pastor Mike, I don't know what's going on. I know the word. I heard it. I took it. I received. I even wrote it down on my mirror in an expo marker so when I wake up in the morning, I can read it." That's good. There's nothing wrong with that. Write that prophecy down. Read that prophecy every morning. But what are we doing about it? There's two different types of people in this world. There's the Joshua and the Calebs that when they go into the enemy camp and they see the promised land and they see the land flowing with milk and honey, they do see the opposition. They see every enemy that stands in their way. But they see beyond the things that stand in front of them to becoming what they're supposed to be. "Yes, I'm supposed to be a millionaire. Yes, I work at Burger King flipping burger patties for $8.25 an hour, but I have a great idea. I know that I'm 23 years old. God has called me to be very wealthy in finances so that I can finance the kingdom of God. I know this is what he's called me to do. I'm flipping patties. I don't know how to get from point A to point B." So there's two types of people in this world. The one type of people that will see past the situation and the circumstance and see the land flowing with milk and honey and figure out, you know what? I may not have the full plan how to get from point A to point B, but I do know how to put one foot in front of the other. And then there's the other type. "God, my bank account says negative 35. They hit me for an overdraft fee. God, you know who I am. You said it. I'm going to be a millionaire." And then all of a sudden we start complaining. Oh, that complaining. "God, I'm supposed to be a millionaire. God, you called me to be a millionaire. God, I'm supposed to be rich. God, I'm supposed to have all this. God, how am I supposed to finance the kingdom? I'm in negative debt. How do you have negative debt? God, I owe people money. I can't pay nothing. I can't buy a box of tissues." Come on, don't stay with me. I know we're talking about money, but it's just a principle. Okay, all right. There's a doing. I promise I'm getting somewhere. I need 10 more minutes. Deuteronomy 8, starting with verse 2. Is everybody okay? Okay. I prayed. I said, "God, please help keep me from shouting the whole service. I'm trying very hard." Amen. "And you shall remember the Lord your God, who led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you, to test you, and to know what was in your heart." Oh, God. See, you're going to go through testing. I'm called to be a millionaire. God, I'm flipping burger patties for $8.25 an hour. See, all of a sudden, what's in your heart is going to be exposed when you're in that desert season. It's all of a sudden when you get squeezed. Paul and Silas were called to be what? And all of a sudden, they're in a jail cell for doing what God told them to. Oh, my God. They're doing what God has called them to do. They're walking in purpose, destiny, but all of a sudden, something comes up in a way that causes them, they could have two mindsets here. Right? It's in that wilderness place when things aren't going so well, when the voice of the accuser is busy pointing his finger at you and calling you everything that God says you're not. When your bank account says that everything that's in there is the exact opposite of what God just prophesied. We're going somewhere, I promise. Is everybody okay? It's in that place that you can, the decision is yours. Are we gonna be like Joshua and Caleb that say, yeah, I see them giants. Okay, I see them, but it's gonna be all good. I'm gonna get through it. Are we gonna be like the people, the Hebrew people that Moses was leading and just whine and cry? Okay, let's get somewhere. All right. Verse 3. So he humbled you and allowed you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. That is a loaded statement. Verse 4. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. Oh my God. I'm from Okeechobee. Many of you know that. And in high school, in Okeechobee, we have three places to shop. Walmart, Tractor Supply, and Eli's. And that's it. We don't have a Target. We don't have a Hollister. We don't have a Ross. We don't have none of that. We got Walmart. We got Tractor Supply. And we got Eli's. And that's all you got. And guess what? They sell the same clothes at all three stores. So it don't matter where you go, you're getting the same outfit. My whole high school year, everybody thought I wore the exact same outfit every day. It wasn't true. It was clean. I just had seven of the same pair of clothes. Come on. I know there's a few rednecks in here. The Wranglers, dark blue with the big patch. Got a couple amens there. Those pants, I'm telling you, could go through a nuclear warhead and still be standing. You put them on in the morning, you gotta flap them, loosen them up, steam them, put them in the dryer, get them loose to get your leg in them. Do some squats to get the knees loosened up. They're stiff. Anyone wore them, you know what I'm talking about, right? Let me tell you, I would go to school in these pants. I would go to a nice dinner in these pants. I'd take my lovely lady out in these pants. I would work in these pants, weld in these pants, roll around in the woods in these pants, grease on my knees. I'm telling you what, these things could go through war and make it. But about 2 years, all I get out of a pair of Wranglers. Can I tell you the first pair of boots, the first nice pair of boots that I got? I was a junior in high school and I bought a pair of $265 Ariat boots. It was like 2.5 paychecks. Ooh, I was proud of them, proper boots. We're not talking Georgia Boot Company. I mean, I'm talking like, you hear me coming, cluck, 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 cluck. I mean, hey, nice boots, well-made, quality leather. Can I tell you those boots only lasted me 5 years and that wasn't wearing them every single day? Pastor Mike, what at all does this have to do with this scripture? Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. I'm very visual in everything that I do. You mean to tell me that a burlap sack and a pair of flip-flops gonna outlast my nuclear-ready Wrangler jeans and a pair of Ariat boots? Wait a minute, hold on. Time out. I just seen something miraculous on the page. A burlap sack and a pair of flip-flops gonna go through the wilderness over rocks in the rugged, arid, dry weather through sand. You ain't got a hole. You ain't got a stain. Ladies, you got one dress. One dress. I had seven pairs of Wranglers. I could only get through 2 years of them. What? 40 years? Wait a minute now. Everybody with me? Am I putting this into perspective? Am I giving you a picture here? Oh, it's going to get good. Numbers 11, and I'm almost done, I promise. Numbers 11, verse 1. And now when the people complained, and it displeased the Lord, for the Lord heard it, his anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some in the outskirts of the camp. Oh God, I'm getting so sick and tired of this manna. Listen, I'm eating Aunt Jemima's quick bake pancake mix for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I'm about sick and tired of eating the same pancake mix for all three meals of the day. God, I'm getting so tired of my burlap sack and my flip-flops. I mean, listen, I've tried everything. I've kicked the rock. I've complained. I've built tents. I've done everything you can imagine. I've walked 150,000 miles in my burlap sack and my flip-flops. I can't make these stupid things wear out to save my life. God, I just want another dress. Okay, I don't want another dress, but you understand, I'm complaining for the Israelites, okay? The Hebrew people, they're complaining. Stay with me.
Somebody said, Pastor Mike want a dress?
I thought you said you was from Okeechobee, boy. And they're complaining, and they're complaining. And as they're complaining, all of a sudden, Billy Joe's camp.
Oh,
that don't look good. They're busy complaining, they're busy complaining, they're busy complaining. God gets a little angry. He's getting sick and tired of hearing people complain about the provision that he has provided. See, here's the thing, is that all of a sudden we get complacent in what God has given us, and we don't, and we start complaining about what he's already given us. I got shoes on my feet, I got clothes that I'm wearing. It may not be Prada. They may be $49 Vans from the discount store. They ain't Ariat boots no more. But you know what? I got shoes on my feet. Right? But instead, they're complaining. And all of a sudden, Billy Joe's camp on the outskirts of town, it blows up. Now, my thought process, me, I that would have been the like moment to like hush it. I grew up with a couple sisters, and I can remember, come on somebody, if you had a sibling, you can remember this, and mom and dad would tell us no on something, and we'd be arguing back and forth. Me and Lisa, and mom is such, she's this, she's that, and mom, she took away my PlayStation, I just want to play the PlayStation, man, and she took it away, and we can't, and we're busy complaining back and forth, and all of a sudden, mom comes around the corner, and she catches the one complaining, and all of a sudden, and the other one who wasn't complaining at the time but was 3 seconds ago goes, no, I wasn't a part of that, mom, I promise. I was just listening. Right? That's common sense. I'm complaining about provision, and God just blew up Billy Sue's tent right outside the camp. Moses, you got to go pray. Isn't that just like us? We don't have a relationship with God, so we lean on somebody else's relationship to save us. Oh. Billy Sue's camp just exploded because I was complaining, and now all of a sudden, Moses, help. My own actions got me to where I'm coming. That fire's coming at me. I'm about to die. Moses, just sort it out for me. I don't have a relationship with God, but you do. I would have stopped complaining at that point. I wouldn't have carried on. But let's move on. Verse 4. It says, now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. And I actually have that highlighted. They yielded to intense craving. See, here's the thing. Jesus was tempted as well. The craving isn't the sin. It's when we yield to the craving. Listen, you can get tempted all you want to complain. It's not a sin until you begin to open your mouth and whine and cry like a... I'm preaching to myself, y'all. I promise. This is not me beating you over the head. This is me. I have this issue. Is that okay? Can we go from that angle? I'm preaching to myself, okay? They yielded to the intense craving. So the children of Israel wept again. Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish. We remember the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. And now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna. What a slap in the face. There is nothing at all except this manna. There's nothing. There's nothing. There's nothing at all. Wait a minute. Hold on now. I find this statement very profound. And it speaks of two different types of people here. There's a type of people that God's going to bless them. And he's 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 going to put them in a testing to see how they respond before he blesses them more. He wants to see what you're going to do with the little that you have been given. Paul and Silas had nothing left. They couldn't do anything else because they were stuck in an inner cell. They didn't have an audience. Oh, but wait. I'm supposed to preach. I'm supposed to do this. I'm supposed to do that. I'm locked up in shackles. I can't do anything in here. Oh, but wait. I can praise and I can pray and maybe somebody will hear me. I've been given manna, my Nesbitt Quick Bick pancake mix, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I got my burlap sack and a pair of flip-flops that I can't seem to break to save my life. Been 40 years walking on these things. My feet won't swell or nothing. It's like Nike Air Shocks and flip-flop form that are made out of Kevlar. But there's nothing at all except this manna. If I was God, listen, I'm not the most holy person. I smite them all. What you mean nothing at all except this manna? You know how hard it is to make a burlap sack last 40 years? You know how hard it is to make a pair of rubber flip? Okay, they didn't have rubber back then. You know how hard it is to make a pair of flip-flops last more than 3 weeks? I'll bust the tongue right out of them things walking through the front door. I buy them at the store, put them on in the car, make 3 steps on the beach, and blow the flip-flop out. Me and Jimmy Buffett are on the same queue here. But these people, he'd have been proud of them. 40 years? Right? And there's nothing at all except this man. There's nothing at all except my provision. Nothing at all except the roof over your head. Nothing at all except an opportunity to preach at a U group. Nothing at all except an opportunity to pray. Nothing at all except an opportunity to pray at a prayer meeting. Nothing at all. I don't have nothing at all. God hasn't given me any opportunities to do anything. Everybody gets a trophy. Come on, that's what I hear when I hear that. Oh my God, help me preach this, God, without shouting. That's what I hear. I hear a millennial youth member whining and crying because they've been given everything they've had their whole life and they don't appreciate nothing. That's what I hear. Nothing at all except this manna. This is what my trophy. I participated. You crying baby. Where's the Christians with a backbone? Where's the Calebs and the Joshuas that say, hey, I see that demon. I see that giant. I see all that, but don't worry. I see the land flowing with milk and honey. You know what? I serve a God that made my burlap sack and a pair of flip-flops last me 40 years. If he can do that, he can slay any giant. Oh, we need a generation to rise up that's got a backbone, that stops complaining about everything, that stops getting offended about everything. I don't like the way Pastor preaches. I don't like the way Pastor prays. I don't like the way he runs his church. He won't let me stand up and prophesy whenever I want. It's exhausting. Who gave him as head of this church? Boop. If he did it, I ain't gonna ask. I ain't gonna question it. I'm just gonna submit. Oh, there's something happening. There's something happening. Oh. Nothing at all except this manna. Nothing at all except this manna. You know, it wasn't unbelief that held them in the wilderness. It was their complaining that held them in the wilderness. Come on, young generation. It's time that you stop complaining and stop pointing a finger at everybody else for the reasons you're not where you're supposed to be. I'm gonna come over here because y'all like me a little better than they do tonight. I hear it all the time. But Mike, I'm supposed to do this, I'm supposed to do that, and I just don't get my way. We brought up honor thy parents, honor thy mother and father in youth group last week, and boy, did we have a conversation. Okay, I'm done. Okay, I'm gonna upset somebody, so I'm gonna finish. Amen. Come on, we gotta be that generation. We gotta be those Joshuas and Calebs that it doesn't matter what we've seen. It doesn't matter how big the enemy looks. Psalm 23 just keeps ringing in my head. Yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Yeah, you're going to go through tough times. God didn't promise you a rose garden. He did give you everything that you needed to know. That you are blessed. That you have purpose. That you have destiny. Begin to walk in it. Begin to do something to get you in that area. Come to a prayer meeting and don't just... do something. Come on. Do something. We come to a prayer meeting to pray. When we fast as a church, we fast. We don't just... oh, God. Amen. This is... we can do this, guys. We can do this. When the urge, the craving to complain comes about, remember... that craving's gonna come, and that's all right. I believe if all I had was quick bit pancake mix, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, I'd crave a steak too. That'd be all right, Hebrew people. Where they went wrong is they begin to open their mouth and whine and cry about it. And they were real quick to forget about their bondage experience. They were real quick to forget about their Egypt experience. They were real quick to forget about the slavery, all the work, all the getting whipped in the back. They were real quick to forget about all the things that they were so happy to leave. They were real quick to forget about their deliverance experience for a quick taste of the world. Oh. I'm going to sell my birthright for a bowl of soup. I'm going to submit to that craving. That just one quick thing, that one quick hit, that one quick taste, that one quick movie, that one quick... Amen. Can we pray tonight? I'm going to close out. I believe we're going to be that generation that raises up youth. Come on, guys. We can be that generation that takes it. That takes it. Church, we can be that generation that takes it. If they don't want it, somebody else will take it. We're going to be that generation that reaches out and grabs a hold of it. Nothing at all except this manna. Oh no, God, you have provided so many abundant blessings. Father, I thank you tonight in Jesus' mighty and precious name. Father, I thank you. I thank you that every person in this room has a purpose and has a destiny and has a calling. I thank you that every person that is watching online, Father, has destiny, purpose, and a calling. Father, I thank you that there are many parts to the body. And Father, it takes all of these parts working together to be a functional body. I thank you, Father, that we all have a place in ministry one way, shape, form, or another. Father, I thank you for that. And I pray tonight in Jesus' name that we would catch a revelation that complaining is only going to hinder us from stepping into our promised land. Father, I know we go through tough times. I know we go through areas that aren't so good. They don't feel so good. They don't taste so good. Father, I know that you have called us to do great and wonderful things, and there are times, God, when we feel like everything you've said about us will never come to fruition because of our situation and our circumstance. But I declare and decree tonight in Jesus' name that this generation, that this church, that the members of this house, that anyone that connects to this body, Father, would be like Joshua and Caleb, and that when they would see the enemy that rages against them, they would know that my God is good and faithful, that He's good and faithful. He is the God of the impossible. He will slay every giant that is in my way. He will make a way where there doesn't seem to be one. I pray in Jesus' name that we would not be bound up by complaints. We would not be bound up by bitterness. We would not be bound up by offense. In Jesus' name, it is broken tonight. It is broken tonight. It is broken tonight. I speak freedom. I speak boldness. I speak zeal in Jesus' name. Father, that we would put one foot in front of the other, even in the time of our wilderness experience. Let our heart be exposed, God. Because it's in the wilderness, Father, that what is truly in us begins to be squeezed out of us, Father. If we're an orange, let it be orange juice that comes out, Father. If we be Christians, let Jesus come out of us when we get squeezed. In Jesus' mighty and precious name, God, help me. I'm not perfect, God. And I make mistakes and I repent, Father. I need this word tonight. This word is for me. I repent, Father, if I've ever been bitter. I repent, God, if I've ever complained. If I've ever doubted your words. God, we repent tonight in Jesus' name. If we've ever spoke against what you have said about us, Father, because of our situation and our circumstance, God, we lay it down tonight in Jesus' name, and we declare and decree from this night forward, we will put one foot in front of the other. We will not be eensy peensy polka dot bikini Christians, but Father, we will be a generation with a backbone, a generation that'll stand up. And when the enemy rages against us, we will push back the gates of hell twice as hard as they push against us. In Jesus' mighty and precious name, we will be a generation that will know how to pray until something happens. We will be a generation that when it's dry and thirsty in the wilderness, we will push and we will pray until a miracle begins to manifest before our very eyes, because prayer and praise will always create an atmosphere for a miracle. Father, we will be that generation. In Jesus' mighty and precious name. Father, I thank you for every person who came out tonight. I pray, Lord, in Jesus' mighty and precious name, that you would go with them, that you would be with them, Father, that you would protect them, that you would speak to them in the night watches. Father, I give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. In Jesus' mighty and precious name. And everyone agreed and said, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.